Good afternoon, evening, or morning. It's been a while. It's kind of a good time to try to come back. I think we had a major event in the last couple days. Former President Trump. I think this is fourth indictment session down in Fulton County, Georgia, where looking back might have been the worst place of fraud. I think I'd compare it to Milwaukee County in Michigan. This is an insanity going on. You know, we knew we'd see this. We knew that Trump was going to be indicted regardless of evidence. We knew that they are doing this because they fear him. And the irony, and this is with people that don't see strategy when they're emotional, right? I mean, it's emotions are part of life. They're the first thing we feel when we react to something. And as we become adults and hopefully successful, controlling our emotions and you know, really channeling them is what can make us successful. You know, things like competition, sports, academics, you know, anything at a young age that puts stress on us and forces us to perform and overcome that stress in difficult moments is a critical part of development. And one of the things I've noticed with most of the far left liberals I've known in my life is they sucked at sports, they suck at competing, they're victims all the time, and they never developed the skill of controlling an argument without bringing total emotion into the equation. I mean, everything about the Democratic Party now is an emotional argument. And it's been that way for more than 10 years. It's pure emotion, pure social justice. You can say woke, but DeSantis has kind of killed that word for me by overusing it. Just absolute victimhood language, and it appeals to people's feelings, and unfortunately, certain segments of our population in the U.S. are very responsive to that and vote that way, and then bitch and moan about the outcome, and then move into red states and ruin them for the rest of you. It's ironic, but it's reality, and it's going to be that way for a while. But it's looking like it's going to be Biden and Trump, and I would have been moderately concerned about that up until about a month ago. And one, I mean, every poll has Trump absolutely dominating the Republican primary. It's not even close. That debate the other night that I didn't watch because I wanted to watch the Trump interview. And so did roughly 255 million other people. Now, for how long they watched, I don't know, but that's the number of interactions on X Twitter, whatever we call it now, that interview received. And it was on during the Republican primary. It is a king move. And the beautiful irony of it is Ron DeSantis tried to launch his pathetic campaign on Twitter, and it totally failed. And here comes Trump leveraging the same platform with the ever dominant and brilliant Tucker Carlson running the interview. In really only a way Tucker can do it. It was perfect. It really was. I thought Trump's demeanor was incredible. It looks like he's lost weight. I've always thought that'd be something he needs to do. He was really heavy when he was president. And, you know, hey, he's busy. He's a tycoon personality. And, you know, it's when you're working 20 hours a day, which is what he was averaging, you're going to gain weight. It's hard, almost impossible to lose weight, but maybe he's using Ozempic or some, I don't care. I have no shame to anybody getting some help losing weight because that stuff works. And he's lost weight. He looks good. He was calm. He talked about the fraudulent election, and I think that's his right to do so because I believe, I always have, that there were significant issues. There was fraud. It's just one of those things where the mantra of the, you know, safest, most secure election in history, they just kept repeating it like a seance, and all you have to do is say it three or four times, and the left-wing media, the mainstream press, is going to pick it up and take it as gospel, as they did everything the government lied about or didn't know anything about during the COVID pandemic, right? The press is going to do what these administrations, these leftist administrations, want them to do. They're part of the same little army. And so Trump did a great job. And I'm watching the interview. And then, pardon me, after that, I see a few clips of the debate. I didn't record it. I have no interest in any of those people. And if you do, that's fine. But you're wasting your time. Okay, you can argue whomever you like in that group of what I think it was 12. None of them have a chance in hell of getting the nomination. As of this indictment, as of the mugshot, and what we'll talk about, the spectacular and fantastic backfire that we kind of knew this would be if the emotional left pushed it for their own short-term orgasm, and they did. And that Fulton County DA with her smirk partied, I'm sure, the night away after the mugshot was taken. And what's fantastic is that stupid twit had to wake up the next morning, hungover, sloppy, and watch the house burn down. You have urban neighborhoods in Fulton County, in Atlanta, cheering on that massive motorcade. Trump rolled in like the big daddy personality he is. He is daddy. They can't take it. He has what Dinesh D'Souza referred to as animal magnetism. And that's what you need to win a general election for president of the United States. And so with that in mind, you look at who we thought might be the front runner to challenge Trump for the nomination, Ron DeSantis, right? That was the guy that was safe to say you liked at a party. You know, he's done a great job in Florida. But one thing I was always concerned about is his voice. It's nasally. We're not going to – a nasally person, a shrill person, i.e. Hillary, isn't going to win a general election. It's not going to happen. They can't it's weird. It's off-putting. Okay, let's take that and put it aside. Nasally voice. You can work around things. You can get past it. Not if you walk around and are awkward all the time. Not if you are very cliche. Woke this, woke that. It's you lose your effect. And in the debate, he was just so uncomfortable. Where he made his little stand, you know, you're fighting for airtime amongst all these talking heads. And he made this "I'll fight for you" statement, and it was just weird looking. And he's shifting back and forth. I mean, it's like a nervous child. And the DeSantis supporters are on the Twitter sphere and Instagram and everywhere talking about, well, he was nervous. This now, okay, well, then he shouldn't be president. If you're at this point and you're trying to be nominated to run for president of the United States, a serious nomination, okay, then all that's done. I mean, you have to have all those boxes checked before I'm interested. Nervous? Just giving a speech, nervous, being on TV. Well, what if it hits the fan and you have decisions to make and you have to address the country or you have to sit down with someone like Putin and convey strength? I mean, you're going to feel some nerves, but you have the big boy pants of being president of the United States. Put them on and wear them. Ron is done. So if you like Ron DeSantis, I mean, I don't dislike him. He's just a nerd. We don't like nerds in the United States as leaders. We just don't. Okay, it's why Jeff Bezos works out, right? It's why Elon tries to look strong. I mean, these guys are nerds. Right? I mean, it's very profitable to be an entrepreneurial nerd. It's a great way to go, but they're not alpha. Okay, Obama's not alpha. He never was. He wears mom jeans, right? But he's a great speaker. And when he speaks, he does have an animal magnetism, like a Baptist preacher, especially when he turns that on that voice, depending on the audience he's from, right? Unfortunately, Hillary tried that, and she didn't wear it so well. But so the debate was just embarrassing. Now, it seems in the last few weeks, and I don't think the debate changed this, amongst that crowd, Vivek Ramaswamy is favoring to be the number two running against Trump. Sorry, guys, but he's not going to lay a glove on Trump if he gets into second place, he clears, you know, he gets to 18% nationally, 20 maybe if he pulls away from that group. But again, he's not original. I like that he says a lot of things that Trump says, but he stepped in it in a couple of things. And one thing that's a non-negotiable for me is someone that goes too far into the 9/11 conspiracy. Now, some of you might believe it. I don't. And it's a hinge point for me. I've opened my mind to it, looked into it. It's nonsense. Okay, that our government took down the towers and somehow blew up the Pentagon. You got doctored videos going around of Pentagon surveillance or closed circuit security video. Where's the airplane? It's all nonsense. All right. I've talked to people who are in the know, who question themselves, who work on the other side. It's nonsense. Okay. It's not like the Vegas shooting or this supposed fire in Maui, which are BS. I mean, for every 10 conspiracy theories I hear, I know one is probably true. I just don't know which one. That's the tough part. So Vivek has this shade towards 9/11. He gets a little QAnon-y, which is not good, right? The true QAnons are a bit weird. All right? I might agree with him on 60, 70% of things, but that 30% is not something you want them talking about at a party. It's like that friend you like until you have to go somewhere with them. And all of a sudden you're stressed all night because you're waiting for them, you know, you're afraid they're going to bring up their network marketing scheme. Or they have a bad habit of talking about foot fungus. And they bring it up, you're just waiting for it. It's just as bad if they never bring it up. Because the anticipation and the anxiety that comes with that anticipation lasts all night. And so that's kind of Vivek. It's like, dude, you're going to get in a general election and you're going to get fired up and you're going to go ham on some out there theory and you're going to turn independence off. I'm only interested in a winner. I don't care if someone's nice. I don't care if they're smart. I don't care if they're experienced. I don't give a damn. I don't care what's great about it. I don't care that he's Indian, because it doesn't count when you're a Republican. You're not a person of color when you identify as a conservative. You have to understand that. That's how the press is. That's how the left is, because they are racist. The biggest racists you know are liberals. We've talked about this. They are the absolute biggest racists, and the further north and east you go, the worse it gets. And that's why they go the other way in public. They're so anti, air quotes, racism when they're behind the podium, because of the worst racists you know. They look at black people as needing them, as not being able to help themselves, as not being capable, as just one example. But so they're, you know, they're going to rip Ramaswamy a new one. He's going to get no credit for any of the things he's accomplished, for being a pretty self-made guy. His main problem, let's take away the QAnon-y stuff, is he's not original. Now, who does he copy? Donald Trump. I like that. I'm good with that. I'm a Trump policy guy. But Trump became Trump because he's an original. We've never had anything like it. He shattered and shook up the system. He made miscalculations with his words, and that didn't help him. And there's some things I hope he works on. It seems like he has, but I'm not going to declare it yet, because I got to see what he does in a heated moment. Will he still win the general? We're going to talk about that. But Ramaswamy's just not original. He just looks like he's trying to be someone else. That's not a good look. The guy's not going to win the nomination. Not going to happen. He's sharp, but he's, a little software engineering. Sorry. All right? I like Nikki Haley. She's okay. Not going to happen. Chris Christie's pathetic. He's so desperate just to argue with Trump and what Trump said about him wanting some kind of cabinet position, and Trump basically says, I don't trust the guy. Of course you don't. He's a New Jersey slob. I mean, the way the guy embraced Obama or that ridiculous hurricane scenario and won it for him when Romney was actually gaining. I mean, what a joke. He's a pathetic douchebag. And the other guys, I mean, they're, you know, I mean, who? You know, I can't remember Tim Scott even qualified. Tim Scott's just boring. You know, on paper, it looks great. African American Republican, South Carolina, blah blah blah. Dude, you got to have charisma, man. You got to have it to be president. You can be a senator, you can be a mayor. But look at Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete. Ron DeSantis is our Mayor Pete. He's a cyborg. He's an add water politician. We have this ingredient, add water. Hey, we got a great governor. Doesn't work for president. Only reason Biden pulled it off was COVID and some shady stuff. But COVID really helped him. And so now here's the good news. So get your head around it. Trump's your nominee. The indictments, none of it matters. These cases are going to go to court next year. And I want to talk about the indictment I just read. It's 96 pages. I tried to read it, but I read most of it. You shouldn't worry. I went into reading it worried. Like, hey, are they going to get him on something? I don't see a jury of 12 convicting him on anything that I've read, especially the Fulton County stuff. And everything else in D.C., these federal cases that I know of, they're conspiracy charges. So, you know, grand jury recommends an indictment based on, hey, there's enough evidence that there could be something here. Never forget that when this goes to court and it goes to a jury deliberation, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, you can't tell me that at least one or two of those 12 are going to be hard in the paint for someone like Trump. That they're not going to see reasonable doubt, even as a neutral juror, which they're supposed to be. I mean, when you look at the Fulton County indictments, it's basically like he was really mean. And they're going for RICO charges. I mean, the conspiracy concept that was used to get mafia bosses because they could never get the mafia bosses on tape talking about anything or giving any direction. Right? And it's like one of the funniest movies. It's Godfather 2. When they got that hitman of Michael Corleone's, the guy with the pencil mustache, they got him to testify in front of Congress. And he talked about, we got a lot of buffers. Yeah, buffers. Meaning all these orders, all these things, the direction coming down from the top was filtered through capos and street bosses so as not to be able to touch the main guy, the Don. So they're trying to get Trump that way. And they admit in the indictments that standing on their own, each of these charges are not a crime. Think about that. But they're saying together, the phone calls, some of these emails, that this was a conspiracy. And what they've done is they said, no, it's not questioning the outcome of the election. It's trying to change it. And Trump is going to have I know a couple of these attorneys, these are hardcore people. Like it or not, these are the types of people that the pharma companies hire, right? Like the Giulianis during the opioid epidemic, right? They don't play around. They know how to pick and get to a jury. And from what I read, if they get him on a couple of these things, he can still run. But let's take it from the genesis of what I believe it was Thursday when he was indicted in this now viral famous mugshot that the left is desperately trying to caricature in a negative way, and it's just all the original crybaby stuff when it is pure gangster. And so Trump shows up squad deep, as one just absolutely hilarious woman said as she narrated it, filming it on her TV and putting it on TikTok. I mean, you might have seen it. It's viral. She's absolutely having a party, and she's African American. And she's dying because Trump came in with an army. I mean, it literally looked like he was conquering Fulton County, that he went back into Georgia, back into Atlanta, where the shenanigans might have been the worst after the election. And he went back, probably, it has to be for the first time, since he was fighting the outcome and calling out the fraud. He goes back like he's Napoleon, like he's Columbus. Like, I mean, landed boats like a Viking. And there was absolutely no pause for a break. No one went to the bathroom like the Vikings. As soon as it hits dirt, they're off, their feet are wet, and they're swinging. They're pillaging. You know, there's no strategy. The Vikings aren't doing a huddle when they hit the sand. Vikings land and they go, and they don't turn back. And when they go back to the boat, it's because they're bored of where they are because they take everything. That's what he did. Because Trump is a master of taking the narrative, taking it away from his enemy. And I think this is the best example of when he's done it. This is, you know, swamp, fighting swamp, swamp level narrative control. And what I didn't, I kind of knew he would do it. I knew Trump would do something to at least neutralize what the Democrats wanted. What I didn't expect is for there to be video in urban neighborhoods of celebrations as this motorcade rolls into town. And remember, this motorcade has a law enforcement look and feel to it. There are law enforcement vehicles, right? Black, you know, police state looking SUVs with their lights going. And what I think they basically say code too. They're not running the sirens, but the, you know, red and blue lights are rolling. These are going through neighborhoods when you see those lights, you run. You stay away because they do not like the police typically. I mean, some of that's improved, but they've had bad experiences with bad police in these neighborhoods, right? But instead, they are flocking. They are lining the streets, and they're cheering him on. They're cheering him on as he drives through squad deep, as that woman put it. I mean, it's not just the support, but it's just the look. It counters what we're told. It counters what I thought I knew. And I don't know what it means exactly. What I'm certain of, and in doing some research, I'm more certain of, that the Democrats have a serious problem with the African-American community. I mean, anybody could say that that is anecdotal, what we saw in that video of him rolling into the city, rolling into Fulton County, heading over to the courthouse to get booked. But I've watched the video like 15 times. There's a lot of people out there. And they're not just observing. They're participating. They feel like they're a part of it somehow. They feel like maybe this guy is gangster. Maybe he is the enemy of my enemy. And that's enough right now because things are so bad. And there was somebody else, a big influencer, that came on and basically just looked at the screen. African-American guy said, hey, how can you vote for anybody else? The people we hate, hate him. So maybe we don't like that he's a rich white guy. Yeah, you know, maybe we can make a list of things we don't like about him. But in the end, they share one common critical bond, is that the people that hate them, Democrats, they hate African-Americans. They hate those communities, especially when they don't do what they're told, meaning vote. They know they're hated by the establishment, and they know Trump is. And Trump's already been gaining with the Hispanic community. I mean, he has been for 4 years. And so there's three groups he's got to. He's not going to win outright the Hispanic vote. He's not going to come close to winning outright the African-American vote. But if he gets upper 20%, it's a landslide. He gets 45, maybe he gets 50. I mean, he gets a big chunk of the Hispanic vote, some kind of improvement over last time where he already improved. Those two areas are enough. And there's three total that are a problem or a challenge for him. So we got African-American vote, Hispanic vote, and then goddamn white women. And I say that with the utmost affection. Right? The Karens flocked back to Biden. Okay? And that's some nonsense. And Trump knows this. I don't know how much he's calculated into how he delivers his message, but I think there's something there in his demeanor right now. And so he doesn't have to get the majority. He's just got to, I mean, he actually, you know, he needs to hit over 50% of white women ages, 25 to 55 or something. It's a critical segment for him. The moms, the about to be grandmas, they got to swing back in his direction. Now, let's say it's the same as last time. If he improves with African Americans and continues to build on his gains with Hispanics, it won't matter. He can break even, maybe even lose a little more of the Karens. So think of it, it's 2 out of 3. He's got to get 2 out of 3 to do this. And if I had to predict today, I think with all things holding the same, because as Tucker inferred, they are, thinking about what are we going to do next. If these indictments don't work, if indicting him in a mugshot doesn't hurt him in the polls, what else can we do? Because y'all know they're not going to stop. They absolutely despise him. He is their nightmare. That's why I've always loved him. Because I don't respect these people. And so he's absolutely trolled them once again, and it might be his best ever. So what happens now? You're going to have these Republican nominees sink in donations. Nobody's coming out of that debate with a donation boost. Absolutely no one. Vivek might increase a little bit. You got Larry Elder out there, who I've always loved, who ran a decent issues campaign for governor last time. And he's not trying to be president, but he's running a campaign. And his motto is, we got a country to save. He's a big Trump guy. So he's not going to get in Trump's way. I think he's making a case to be a part of the Trump team, but it's been great because he apparently qualified to be on that stage and the Republican National Committee wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him be in the debates. He would have been a dominant force and he would have really disrupted the other candidates, which would have been fantastic. I didn't care how that went. I didn't care if it went bad for those people. I want them to get out of the way. I'm tired of the text messages because I don't care about losers. And if you're not first place, you lost. You lost. Now, loser has all kind of connotations, but literally, if you didn't win, you're a loser. You participated in the act of losing, meaning when it was done and we look back on it, past tense, you lost. All of them are losers. They're going to lose. They're going to back out. It's now about taking money from people that should be going towards the Trump campaign or other endeavors like Maui to save these poor people that clearly have been ignored for a reason. And we'll never know for sure, like the Vegas shooting. They'll never let us know. So sorry, if you're going to go out and stump for one of these Republican nominees, you're wasting your time. Or unless you like hanging out with people and talking issues, that's great. That's great to be a part of the process, but you're backing a loser. Okay? Trump is it. Done. He's it. Unless something terrible happens, God forbid. So is it going to be Biden? Let's talk about that. I thought so. I was certain of it a few days ago. Right now, as we speak, it's the weekend and the Democrats are Hillary lampshade throwing right now. I mean, they are freaking out. There are calls in the DNC, in the internals, where people are getting their asses absolutely chewed. Jobs are at risk. Tears are flowing. What they just saw, the reaction, and I think the polling is going to be devastating. What they just saw was a backfire that they probably in the back of their tiny emotional minds thought could happen, but they were too excited, too enraged, too frothed up about getting that mugshot. They couldn't listen to strategy. And, if you go after the king, you best kill him. You best take him down. It doesn't look like they struck a blow at all. It doesn't. I mean, there have been desperate little editorials that have come out, and what does this mean? Well, there's a few that are concerned already. Right. There are still some measured liberals out there. I mean, they hate Trump as much as the next person, but they believe their eyes and they're seeing the reaction. And, it's a wave. I don't know how long this wave is going to last, but Trump is riding it. and so were his people. And so, I mean, you have this whole concept now. I mean, the way it looks, right, when you look at the mugshots of all the people they indicted, it looks like a political attack. It looks communist, right? I mean, it just does. And it kind of is. And it's just one of those things, when you talk to an average American, they're not going to go deep into this. Like, the optics are what they make their decisions on. These are, it's amazing, but these mugshots have a bad optic for the Democrats, even though these are all Republicans in there. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm no longer a Sidney Powell fan. I think she lied about what she was finding in the Dominion machines because she had center stage and thought she'd get a bunch of money out of it. But I don't know if she deserves to be indicted. I don't know what crime she committed exactly. It's, you know, I haven't read hers. I don't really care. But, you know, you're hearing all these charges, 40-something counts. I think it's 46. It'd been hilarious if it was 45. They're probably worried about that. But, yeah, I just saw a documentary on Netflix about the Balco Labs founder, Victor Conti, the dude that made the clear, the steroid cream that wasn't detectable, that changed Major League Baseball forever. And the guy was breaking sports rules, but the feds came after him. You know, the IRS special agents, which are not to be trifled with, they got so excited about taking him down, they charged him with like 40-something counts, and he ended up getting nailed on one. See, count numbers, charges, right? Accumulating charges is like porn for some of these federal prosecutors and these federal agents. They love coming out there and say, we have indicted so-and-so on 67 different counts of this and that. It's just a big boom. This person's so bad that we were able to, we believe we have evidence for 67 individual crimes. And when you look into it, like 20 of them are built off of the same action, right? Mail fraud because they sent this, electric fraud, doesn't look nice in the mirror fraud. And listen, I'm a law enforcement guy, but the federal government knows how to peddle a message. They get convictions. And part of it is affecting potential jurors. Because when you go in there as a juror, it's hard to think, well, 67 counts, geez. I mean, he must have done something. That's the logic. No different with Trump. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It doesn't always work. And with Trump, it's not. I think there's a chance he's, you know, they're going to come at him with a plea agreement. And Trump's, you can, when they get scared, they will. They're gonna try. And he's going to laugh at him. He's taking it to court. Because at the same time he's doing this, just fast forward a bit, all this momentum, now the party's freaking out about Biden versus Trump again. They don't want that. I mean, Biden is in a nosedive. I mean, he was bad when he was running. He's been bad for years. But he looks uniquely decrepit right now. Kamala gets dumber by the day. I mean, she literally, her brain rots. Like, her head is a cantaloupe in the sun. I mean, it's just not getting better. There's just no word. And I think she's one of those elitist minority females that no one can criticize in her inner circle. She surrounds herself with people that don't challenge her. So she's not interested in being coached. There's absolutely no way, if she was getting some help, that she wouldn't have improved a little bit, or at least stayed the same. She gets worse and worse. So what are they going to do? Go in there and tell a black Indian and whatever 20 other ethnic backgrounds she claims, they're going to tell her, female, that they don't think she's the nominee? With someone like her, the risk is she turns around and calls her own party racist and goes public, because she'll throw a tantrum. She's not a stable lady. She gets hysterical, just like Hillary. So if she thinks she's a victim, she's going to tell people. They are freaking out. So if Biden wants to still run because he's an egotistical piece of turd, he's running. all while it's been proven that he took around $20 million, his family did, from Ukraine and China and other foreign entities. So there goes the moral high ground the left wants to take if it's Trump versus Biden. I mean, for me, I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to get into the last election and anything Trump did afterwards and be like, hey, you know what? I'll call it a push because Biden's trash. His son is trash. It's proven now. We have the receipts. Everybody knows as vice president, this guy took money from China and gained special influence from his son and for his boutique investment firm. We know it. It's not it, nothing. Stop. So it's a push. You don't like Trump's not moral, neither is Biden. Whatever. Let's move to the issues. Let's move to what's happened in the last 3.5 years. We're in a total nosedive. The country sucks right now. Inflation leveled off a little bit at a terribly high rate. Interest rates are up. People can't borrow money. Crime is through the roof. You can't get people to apply for law enforcement. We got a dude looking like a woman running the Health and Human Services. We got trans military officers. It's freaking chaos. My biggest issue, and I'll talk about this in a separate show, is how the groomers and the pedos have infiltrated the LGBT part of the community, and they are being leveraged, and they're leveraging themselves to gain something with children with early sex changes, hormones, and all these procedures that they want to do at prestigious or what used to be prestigious medical organizations, universities, and hospitals. This is part of a deep, dark, demonic plan that spans from Big Elite Hollywood in D.C. These are sick people. They're pedophiles. There's a lot of them. Right? They're hedonists. They do whatever gives them pleasure. They do anything. And they are moving. And they are leveraging victimhood to get to your kids. And it's in schools and it's anywhere you're not. Because groomers, the first thing they do is isolate you out. They get kids and they isolate them. It's not just trans. It doesn't. Any groomer, any child molester, any pedophile, they know how to do it. They do it online. They do it in person. They do it via chat or via text. They get you isolated as a child. They start taking pieces down from your structure that your family's built. And with an impressionable child, it's easy. I know a number of examples in my own life of kids that have unfortunately been around some trans scumbag. And all of a sudden, not long afterwards, they're starting to question their, quote, gender identity, unquote. It's utter nonsense, and it's worse than that. It's psychotic. And it's all related to why the movie Sound of Freedom is not supported by these people. They're scared to death of us knowing what's going on behind the curtain, and we're starting to learn. It's not just us, though, right? We've always known. We're talking millions and millions of Americans every day are starting to figure out, wait a minute. Why does my school not want to tell me when my child changes their gender identity in the classroom? Why is that not my right to know? Remember what I said about isolation. It's the first step. And what they want, and pay attention to this, they want your kids to be able to consent and change their gender. If they can get that little win, it's a big win actually, if they get that first step done, think about what it means. It's like it's establishing a precedent. If a child can make that decision on their own, what else do they want them to be able to decide on their own? Are we talking sex? I think we are. I know we are. I know these people. If you know me, you know parts of people I know that went after these sickos as part of their career. I know how they operate. You go to any law enforcement seminar at a school that's good enough to bring them in, they teach you about grooming. They teach parents about what happens, what it looks like, what to look for. They teach the schools what to do. And the first thing they do is involve the family. That comes from law enforcement. And now we have academic institutions, school districts, counties, making policies. Washington, that devastatingly pathetic state, has now made it so parents do not get informed. And the people voting for this have real problems. I mean, there are sick people in these city councils in these state legislatures. And they are voting this and governor into law, and governors are signing it. If you live in Washington, I don't know when it goes to into effect, but your kids are now at risk of being isolated and groomed at their public schools. In a school where you have teachers decorating their entire classroom to be transgender fluid oriented. And they're not, the only good thing I can say right now is they're not hiding anymore. That pedophiles, or as they tried to say, minor attracted persons, have been given so much confidence. They're starting to believe that what they feel, what they want, is just another normal sexual part of the spectrum, like being gay or straight. They're starting to believe this themselves, and they're coming out of the shadows a little bit. It's also grooming people to just be like them. There is an active movement amongst the trans, quote unquote, community to influence children. It's not to give them a safe space. As soon as you hear them talking about, we want kids to feel safe to be X, Y, or Z, that's a red flag, red explosion. That is fireworks. Watch out. Watch out. What they're saying is, we want to be able to coach them. Because when you feel weird and you are an outcast, when you have such severe mental issues that you were born a boy, a man, and you want to not only identify as a female, but chop off your penis to be a female, if you're so mentally ill, you go that far. One, if you're not dealing with the psychosis afterwards, and of course, all the surgical pain and infections and everything with your new fake vaginoplasty, whatever they call it, you want to not feel like you're alone. You want to justify what you've done and what you feel. And the lack of treatment you've received, you want to justify that by growing your circle. It helps these sick people to know and to groom others to be like them. They want to build their community. They want there to be more of them. And in their mind, they think they've convinced themselves, lots of them, that they're helping these kids by suggesting maybe they're not a boy, or maybe you're not a girl, or maybe you're gender fluid. And it's everywhere now in schools. You're telling me that's organic, that these children who now come out as a female are doing this because that's how they feel. You know, I've always known. You can influence kids to do just about anything if you're in a position of authority. And so this is happening. Right, this is happening right now. This is the big cultural battle. And who finally came out and said something harsh about child sex traffickers? Donald Trump. He said automatic death sentence if convicted. And nobody's saying anything. They're not even asking the Republican nominees what they think about that. If they did, I missed it. But it's interesting because, and it's brilliant to come out and say that, because who can oppose it? It really puts someone strategically in a tough spot to say, well, maybe that's too harsh. And then someone's like, is it really? So your kind of first instinct when presented, you know, with the question, what do we do with someone that stole children and gave them to pedophiles to rape, to assault? Your first instinct is to start calibrating what the punishment should be, because many of us are on the other side, be like, yeah, not only the wood chipper, but feet effing first, right? We just like, yeah, Donald, I'm in. Where do I sign up? Hang them. Hang them slow. Make it public. Make the others who have been convicted or are waiting to make a watch. Let's scare them back into the dark. Let's make it impossible for them to exist. Let's be vigilant. Absolute zero tolerance. No one said anything, though. And he hadn't said much about it since. He planted that seed. He's coming back to it. Because he's a lot like us. His first instinct isn't to calibrate and measure his answer. He just answers. for better or for worse. And on that one, Biden, prepare for the stammering on that one in a debate, because Donald just asked him. He won't care if the stuffed shirt running the interview from CNN or Fox or wherever doesn't ask it. Don will. And he's going to come up with more things like this. Hard questions that should be an answer. They should be rhetorical. The answer should be, of course, absolutely. We don't need to talk about that. We're in alignment. And I'm talking to my people about doing the same thing. And actually, these Democrats, any politician would be smart. They said, that's actually something we should have done sooner. And we're going to. Check the box, move on, but he can't. They can't with Donald Trump. They can't agree with him. Donald Trump says the sky is blue. They're going to be like, well, you know, on some days. They're absolutely a mess. And they know it's only going to get worse this go-round. And so what are they going to do? Are they going to bring COVID back? I mean, we're having, you know, Asia had a surge a few months ago. It's like the flu. It's working its way through the U.S. People are getting COVID. They're talking a new vaccine, right? There are schools, there are colleges that have mandated masks. I think right now, think about it, we're coming into September. So a year from now, we're going to be getting into election season, like hardcore season, right? Getting down to it, countdown time. I think right now you're going to see a litmus test on what they can get away with, what they think they could do next year, because I think next year, when all these nominees are flamed out, when Trump gets the nomination and Biden is cranky and forces it and is the presumed nominee for the Democrats, it's going to get nasty. The rallies are going to be packed. People are going to absolutely, I mean, there aren't going to be a lot of people admitting it, but people are going to be flipping back that voted for Biden the last go round. So they're going to need something to get ballots out there. Now, it's going to be almost impossible to do the same thing they did in Arizona and Georgia, because those Republican governments, those state legislatures voted and the governor signed identity protections and things to block the ballot chaos from last time. It's going to make ballot harvesting a lot tougher, which Republicans better be doing too. Going door to door, getting those ballots filled out, because there's going to still be a lot of mail-in voting. But it's not going to be as easy this time, thank God, at least in those two states. Texas did it too. But Biden's going to be hurting. Trump is going to be in these court cases, and it's just going to take all of the attention. And he's going to be able to respond, and he's going to be prepared. He's going to be saying things. Look at this. This is what they want to do. And it's not just me. It's all of you, which it is, right? They want to censor social media. They want to shut you up because you don't agree with them. These are communists. I don't even say socialist anymore. They organize and respond like communists. And they absolutely want to destroy Trump. And so if that's happening next year, court cases going on, right? He gets acquitted in an early one. It's ball game if they don't do anything. So they're going to test out COVID right now. They're going to see how far they can get. And again, not to go too conspiracy, but God knows what they do with a virus strain next year. To get people back in their homes, to have the reason to just put ballots out there with little accountability, and to get to what they did, but even better, get to what they did in 2020. Watch out, because right now, it's like 2016 squared. I mean, it seems like it. We're going to know in a couple weeks. It's going to start happening. If this indictment fail explodes into something else. And he's got the issues on his side. I mean, he's Biden now. You know, you're not running against an incumbent where you can pick at everything they did and say, I'm going to make it better. Like, I'm going to defeat COVID. The guy that said this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I mean, it's a complete mess. It's a total fail. I mean, Fauci's got to be dying. Because if Trump wins, they're going to go after him. And I want him to. That man should be in jail. Not even for what just did with COVID, for other things. But what he did with working, taking the NIH and working with China. I mean, we all know now. No one, the arguments against the Wuhan strain coming from a lab have really petered out. I mean, they even it was like, well, we're not absolutely sure. I'm like, I mean, they're 99.9% sure, but they're not absolutely sure. F off. So they lost that one. That's coming back. Trump's going to cram it down his throat. And, you know, imagine if they're trying it again during election season. People are going to, it's going to be ugly. You know, they start mandating masks at polls in some of these states. They start putting them in schools. They start basically trying to scare people, right, into asking for a mail-in ballot. I'm telling you, it's going to backfire, but who knows what they're going to do. And just watch. They just interviewed Biden. He stammered through an answer about funding for a new vaccine. Right? He's got Ukraine getting money. We got the scumbags like Lindsey Graham and Elizabeth, Harris, that clown from Massachusetts. They're over there shaking Zelensky's hand. I'm sorry. I think it's BS. You see videos of all these women and people partying in nightclubs. You look at the people that know the strategy. It is impossible for Ukraine to win this, right? It's not even a debate. They cannot win this. Russia is launching 60,000 artillery shells a day. A day. I mean, they must have been manufacturing these shells for the last 20 years, 24/7. 60,000 a day. They have an entire corridor covered that any army, any organized military group in Ukraine would have to march through for many miles. Imagine going down a hallway and having 60,000 artillery shells a day lobbed onto you the entire trip. It ain't happening. The Ukrainian, I mean, we give them a few planes. They have no air superiority. They can't fly. I mean, these artillery units are hundreds of miles away. Behind Russian lines. That's the beauty of artillery. They dial it in. It's math, baby. Right? And it's constant. Bam, bam, bam. 30, 40, 100 of those at a time. It's over. Russia's going to last it out. They don't care if they lose 6 million young dudes. World War II all over for them. They just throw bodies at them. So, we've got that crap. Trump's answer is brilliant. What does he say? Do you want Ukraine to win? God, that is the drive-by Associated Press media question. And he just says, I want it to stop. I want people to stop dying. And he says, like, dying. That's Trump's way when he pronounces things like that. It's his way of saying, I want people to stop dying, you absolute fool of a child. But what about, shut up. Shut up, young lady. You've never accomplished anything in your life. You've been better off being a stripper than being a suck-up journalist. That's what he's saying. You're not even worth questioning me. Because you're just a parrot. And so the Ukraine flags, people, all the idiots, put them out, they're gone. People are tired of it. 40 billion here, 20 billion here. When they can't even afford milk. He's going to win on that issue. He's going to move independence his way on that issue. Because he's saying, I'll go in there, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop it right now. It's a bold promise, but sounds good to me. And yeah, it's not predictable. It never is. The Democrats are like, they're caged animals. COVID bailed them out last time. Absolutely bailed him out. Trump was going to win by a landslide. The economy was strong. Biden was only nominated as a nod to the old senior guy. They knew he wasn't going to win. They got nobody else. So who knows what they're going to do, but I think they're going to have to go with Biden. And I think it's going to be a slaughter in any debate they have. And Trump now, instead of being the incumbent going against someone who has no record to defend, now it's, I mean, think about it. It's the first time. You have two candidates, both with a presidential record to compare, that are running at the same time, right? Two former presidents, the current one, Biden, former Donald. I mean, it's exciting for us. Believe me, I feel a lot better being a Republican than a Democrat right now. especially after this mugshot fiasco. That's going to be it for today. I'm going to keep trying to come back. Time is a little bit better. I got some less fears. I'm going to be able to protect myself from the obvious usual suspects who'd want to cancel if they knew who I was and, you know, where I was. But I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope we can get some of that listenership back, get some of the consistency back, and any emails you have, any questions, it's still the same excellence in podcasting EIP email that I've always had. It's on the podcast site. Let me know, reach out. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.